So the first question, this is an automatic volume control.
Yeah, it's okay.
This is why, this is on a mic, this isn't. So the first question I'm going to ask you, Doris, is how do you remember Sandy?
I remember Sandy as terribly intelligent and wily, brutal at some point, uncaring for certain friends, in the way that he ultimately treated some people. It's totally selfish with the way he treated certain people, and brilliant as a teacher. I don't know that I ever really saw him act enough to be able to qualify how brilliant an actor he was.
Can you tell me, can you give me an example? By the way, if I use your interview, I'm going to send it to you first. So if anything you don't want in, won't be in. So
okay.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, right. Well, I remember, the person, do you remember Paul Morrison?
I love Paul Morrison.
Well, Paul adored Sandy. Sandy walked over Paul. And I cared deeply for Paul. Paul was my mentor, and I adored him. I worked with him. He gave me my start, really working in the theater. And at the end, at different times in Sandy's life, Paul was really taken advantage of by Sandy. But Paul couldn't do anything about it. I mean, Paul may have answered Sandy back, but I don't think Paul ever could say no to Sandy.
How did he take advantage of him?
Oh, I think Paul did errands for him, Paul shopped for him, Paul just did things for him. Jimmy started to be in the picture, but before Jimmy was in the picture, I think Paul just did things for Sandy, and Sandy didn't say thank you. Sandy didn't care if Paul had to not do something for himself or for somebody else. He expected Paul to just be there for him.
I remember once having lunch with Paul around the corner from the neighborhood. I know Paul since I'm 9 years old.
Oh.
And Paul said, it was very mad thing. He said, Sandy is only interested in two things, sex and money. And that's what Paul told me. My son was a student at the neighborhood at that time.
Your son?
Yeah, Sandy's nephew, who was not an actor.
I remember when your son was there. I remember that he was there. At one time, I was very, up until about 2 years ago, I was really involved with the school on a day-to-day basis. I ran the junior school on Saturday for 33 years. And my life was governed by that school, the junior school, for the children from ages 8 through 17.
So you have a relationship.
So I cared a great deal. And then I finally just got tired, and my husband wanted me to stop. And because I'd worry if it's going to rain or snow or whatever on a Saturday, and I took vacations accordingly. I never missed a Saturday in 33 years.
Mm. Do you have children?
No.
Mm.
So I was very close and knew, a lot of the students, so that's when I knew when your son was over there as a student. And that's why through the years I know of a lot of other students that have been there, because I used a couple of students on Saturdays. They would work for me.
Danny has a marvelous job. He's an executive of a commercial insurance company.
Oh.
And does well, and really is a...
That's good.
But I think he's a talent. I always thought he was a very talented kid. But anyhow.
Anyway, yeah.
Sandy has been described, Doris, over the years as an especially talented teacher, but difficult man. You sort of answered that. But do you agree?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was a difficult man.
Do you remember why, how?
He never, he wasn't reasonable. I think that was maybe something. He expected something to be done in a certain way, and he wouldn't accept it, that it couldn't be done in that way. And for the most part, when it came to something technical, we ultimately would achieve something for him. But along the way, he would make life impossible because he just wasn't reasonable. He wouldn't hear the other side of the coin, to see the other side of the coin.
He wanted it done his way.
He wanted it done always his way. And Paul, going back to Paul, of course, was the technical director at the school for a long time, especially when I was a student there. And he was also on the teaching staff. And Sandy wanted a chair to be done in a certain way or to have a certain look, and he couldn't understand and wouldn't accept that you couldn't, under our circumstances or our own financial circumstances, always achieve that ultimate that Sandy wanted.
What's the word? Sandy would never compromise.
He wouldn't compromise, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Maybe later on, maybe there were some times that he finally relaxed and would compromise a little bit, but he wouldn't, he made life difficult for everybody along the way. Mainly, I think Paul was his whipping boy.
Did you know Peggy? His first wife?
Oh, I did. I remember going to their apartment. I remember Peggy. I remember their apartment was down in Peter Cooper. I can still kind of see the living room with the piano in it and the big span of windows and the curtains and
you're not getting
Peggy.
You're not getting her mixed up with Betty Gooch, are you? Because I remember that Betty and Sandy had an apartment in Peter Cooper. But that's all right.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it was Betty.
Betty was from the South.
I do remember Betty. Did Peggy preceded her?
Peggy was Sandy's first wife.
In what year? Do you remember?
Well,
maybe it is Betty that I do remember.
The year the death of a salesman was done. How long
the
ago?
The first death of a salesman?
First one. She was in it.
Well, that would have been 47, 48, 49.
That's when they were married. And then they got divorced.
And Betty then must have been in the 50s.
Right. Probably. Maybe. I'm not so sure, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm not so sure. I got married in that apartment. That's why I remember.
Then maybe
Betty.
It was Betty that I remember rather than Peggy.
But I've been trying to get in touch with Betty, and no way can I. Peggy is no longer living. But where, are you from New York, Terrence?
No, California.
Where?
Well, San Francisco area.
And what schools did you go to before you went to the neighborhood?
Well, it was called College of the Pacific in Stockton, California, and there were several students from there that preceded me at the school. Barbara Baxley, Joe Van Fleet.
Lois Wheeler? It's all right.
I'm not sure that Lois came from the COP.
Do you remember some of the people in your class?
Oh, yeah, sure. Patrick O'Neill, who's now dead. Charles Aidman, who is now dead. Dallas Madison, who is now dead.
Gee.
The rest of them, there was a Susan Schultzberger, with whom I did a scene, which Sandy just criticized up and down, but I know we were terrible, an O'Neill scene.
Mm-hmm.
He screamed at us at the end of the scene.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
Now, was there a difference? What brought you to the neighborhood? That's my next question.
Because of the man that was in the head of the drama department at COP, DeMarcus Brown, had sent many of these students, Barbara Baxley and so forth, ahead of me to the neighborhood playhouse. And so I was, at that point, sort of one of the actresses at the college level. And it was logical that I follow to the neighborhood playhouse.
Is Barbara Baxley still alive?
No.
Mm. What a shame.
Nor is Jo Van Fleet. They just died a few years ago.
I liked her very much. I knew her, and I didn't ever meet Barbara Baxley.
Oh, she was a great gal.
Jo Van Fleet.
Both of them.
When you were in the neighborhood, it was a two-year course, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the difference between the first and the second year? in Sandy's approach? Was there a difference?
Well, Sandy, you didn't see Sandy as often in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we only saw him once a week. And in the second year, I think we saw him two or three times a week at least.
Mm-hmm. Was there a fear of not being called back?
Sure. Well, not when you were a student. It wasn't until the last couple of weeks did you have a fear that you might not be invited back.
Mm-hmm. Were you in awe of Sandy? Did you fear him?
I was nervous in front of him. I don't think I feared him.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I had, nervous and kind of shaky in his presence because you wanted to do well. But by the same token, I was fearful of Martha Graham.
Mm-hmm.
To be in her presence was even more or as much of a intimidating because I was not a dancer. I didn't move well. I had no background in dance. So to be put into her class and to have this genius, I mean, you knew in her instance that you were really in the presence of something very special.
How did she treat you? With kindness, with respect?
She demanded, but she treated everyone with respect.
Different than Sandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, yeah, different. She was a little bit more, there was more distance in a way.
Did Sandy show anger in class?
Impatience, anger. I don't know that he might have shown some anger with certain people. I guess he got angry if you didn't come through with your classwork, if you weren't following what he was saying, I guess you could say it was anger, impatience maybe more than anger.
Do you remember any situations, anything like that, Paris?
I can't say that I do within a classroom. No, not really.
But outside of a classroom?
Well, when we were in rehearsal or something, or when we were doing the work. You know, we did our scenes, we worked on our scenes in the class, and then we finally did them on the stage in the theater. And that's when sometimes he would get angry that you didn't do what I told you to do, or you weren't, where'd you lose your head, or something. And then he'd get, I don't know that it was anger. Anger's a kind of a strong word.
Okay, Harold Baldridge said this.
What, that he got angry?
No. Harold Baldridge said this. I think this relates to what you started to tell me. That he would watch you do your exercise. And then he would pinpoint the thing that he didn't think was right. He would get very critical. And you would tremble. He said people would go home and tremble for 3 to 4 days. But then they realized Sandy was right. He said, that's the kind of garbage we had to take from Sandy. Do you agree with that?
Pretty much, yeah.
And you started to say it happened to you.
Yeah, I can remember a couple of times when I did a scene that we worked and worked and worked and we worked as hard as we could work, but I'm sure that in our innocence, as much as we were trying to follow what our classroom instruction had been, that the roles, I mean, I remember this girl, Susan, and I doing, was it More Stately Mansions? Anyway, it was beyond us, and we struggled through it, and then Sandy just said it was god-awful at the end of it. And I can remember running out into the backyard, weeping, and because you try your best, and then you're shat on, and he didn't have any, he didn't say, oh, well, he wasn't sympathetic. He didn't say, you tried your best, good girl, and so forth.
Did he pinpoint, Doris, what he thought?
Probably he did. I can't remember what he pinpointed at this point. I just remember the overall moment.
Yeah.
And my collapse and my chagrin and my unhappiness.
Embarrassment.
And embarrassment, yes.
But did you ever feel that he was right in that criticism?
Oh, he probably was. Oh, sure, later on, I'm sure that I knew that he was right.
Was he patient with students who we knew were not going to be successful actors, as opposed to people with talent? Did he show patience with those kind of people?
I guess he did. There were several of us in the class that, he was patient to an extent. He was fairly democratic in a way. If he really thought you were very talented, though, he spent a lot more time on them. And some of us didn't understand at the time why this attention was being given to some
why?
People.
Why? Can you answer that question?
Well, he recognized their talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, I have to encourage this talent.
Did Maureen Stapleton go at about the same time you did?
No, she wasn't there.
Okay.
No, she was never a student that I know of.
Wasn't she at the school?
Joanne Woodward was a student.
I interviewed Joanne, but I thought Maureen Stapleton did too.
I don't think so. To my knowledge, she was never a student.
Yeah. All right. What impact did Sandy have on you as a person? Do you mind this interview, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I guess when you're in the presence of some exceptional people, like a Martha Graham and a Sanford Meisner, there's something, their aura, their sensibilities, their intuitive qualities, their perception. Somehow you maybe don't understand it when you're a young student, but you're caught up in this whirlpool. And later on, I mean, Sandy used to say, well, it's going to take 20 years for you to understand how to act. Well, maybe it also takes you 20 years to understand how to be a human being. Not everyone does become a human being, but hopefully
some... Did Sandy help you in that process?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
What impact did Sandy have on the theater?
Well, look at all the talents that he helped cultivate. I mean, some of the actors, the Robert Duvalls and the Joanne Woodwards and the Barbara Baxleys and all of those people. I guess he had to have brought out the best in them. So ultimately, whatever they in turn gave to the movies or to the theater, he helped the process.
And he gave students this process we'll call the Meisner technique, you know. They all study it these days. Everybody.
Yeah, but I think anybody can take a class somewhere and they can hang out a shingle today and say that they're teaching the Meisner technique.
I know.
And I think it's like bad medicine.
Mm.
I don't think everybody who hangs out a shingle is necessarily a good doctor nor a good teacher teaching
there's
the method.
There's
either.
A book out by a guy called Jack Silverberg, I think that's his name, who was a student of Neighbor Blair's and has written three books on, as if you can't go to school, read these books, you'll become a good actor, which I think you can't do.
No, I don't think so either.
Now, did you have a personal relationship with Sandy other than a student, or a business relationship?
I had a certain amount of personal relationship through Paul's friendship with him because I was caught up with Paul. Paul and I became very close friends. And that's when I got down to the apartment one time. Sandy liked going to concerts and he loved Horowitz. And when I had a friend who worked for Mr. Horowitz, and when Sandy, and it was impossible to get tickets. So Sandy would ask me to get tickets for the concert for him. So I had a slight personal relationship with him. We never socialized a lot.
Yeah. What about disputes with Sandy other than at the acting school?
I never really had a dispute.
Did Bob Whitehead? I asked that of Bob. I hope he did.
I don't know. Maybe he did through the board.
Mm-hmm.
There were some experiences that they had on the board at that time that maybe he had.
I remember Jimmy. At one point, Jimmy kept saying they wanted to cut his retirement.
Oh, yeah.
And Sandy got furious. Or Jimmy got furious.
Jimmy got furious, yeah.
What made Sandy's teaching so good?
I don't know that I can answer that question.
And don't answer it, you see.
I just think that he... He just was perceptive. He was just a talent, a special talent.
You already answered the question, what made you study with Sandy? Did you always want to be an actor?
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction? Did you meet Sandy? Did he bring you to the school? Did he do an interview with you? Or was it Paul?
No, I was interviewed in California.
Oh.
And because of my affiliation with my college, that's how I got in. No, I was never interviewed with Sandy or Paul.
Were you ever interviewed by Sandy?
No.
What was your first reaction when you saw Sandy?
A very handsome man with a lot of panache.
Mm-hmm.
When he came into the classroom, he made an entrance.
Did he come in with his nose high?
Well, the attitude was, you know, he appeared to us that he might have been 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And he never shrunk much either from that point.
Shrunk much?
Well, you know, I mean, he was not 6 feet tall. He was probably, what, about 5'9 or 10?
I was a little taller than he.
Yeah, he's about that, and whatever he was, but he seemed, you know, he had stature.
You might know this better than I, but this is quoting Harold Baldrige and Mrs. Morgenthau, who you knew, right?
Yes.
Mrs. Morgenthau, when she found out that Sandy was going to California, to Hollywood, to teach and so forth, she was furious because he never told her. This is what Harold said. He never told her. And she said, to quote Harold, "Never will this bastard teach in the school again. Don't want him teaching." Then he went out to California. He was there for about 2 years, came back and worked with the Philip Burton School of Acting for about 2 years. And then I guess he and Paul spoke, and Paul, or Sandy, said, "Come back. I want to come back to the neighborhood." So Paul went and spoke with Mrs. Morgenthau, and she said, "No, I will not have Sandy back in that class." And Paul said, "Okay," and walked to his apartment. And by the time he got there, there was a telephone call. Mrs. Morgenthau called him, and she said, "Sandy Meisner's a bastard, but he's the best teacher of acting. We'll take him back." And Harold Baldrige said, "Well, that's the kind of shit we take from Sandy Meisner." Any comments on that?
I guess that's pretty accurate. I remember some of that when he went out to Columbia Pictures in California. And I remember he came back, he had a lot of terms that he wanted. Terms, you know, financial terms and hours and all the rest of it. But I guess Harold ultimately is right that that's what the mm-hmm. crap that we'd have to take from Sandy.
Yeah.
To have him afterwards.
Did you ever hear Sandy talk about his family? You say he spoke about his sister. Never mentioned me.
Not that I recall.
You probably never knew there was a brother, Bobby.
Oh, I did. I think I heard of you probably through Sandy, but also maybe through Paul.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I love Paul. I know him. This has nothing to do with the book. I won't be in it. But I know him since I was 9 years old.
Mm.
And they only have the fondest, loveliest...
Oh, yeah, Paul was...
Memories. I really loved Paul Morrison. And I felt closer to Paul. Paul generated feelings in me that I never got from my brother.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
He was a wonderful... And he helped my son get into the neighborhood playhouse. I think he got him a scholarship. He was a wonderful guy. Some people have said Sandy was a bitter, lonely, and unhappy man, and over the years became more bitter. Do you agree with that?
Well, I have a feeling that he was probably bitter in some respects because I think he really wanted to be an actor. And I don't think he was that good an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great teacher. And I think that he probably had some unhappiness about his compromise in life from being the actor that he hoped to be to being the great teacher that he was.
Well, people have told me this in some of the interviews, that Sandy loved teaching more than acting, because teaching, he got adoration from the students that he couldn't get when he was acting.
Well, but that's, I think, came along later on when he finally compromised his life. I have a feeling earlier on, when I didn't know him, I mean, when my early years there, before he really concentrated on the school, that as an actor, because I mean, he was in Crime and Punishment Robert, and then he was in a couple of movies. I can't remember the movies that Sandy
Story
was
on page
in.
One.
Yeah, well, you see, he was an ordinary actor. I mean, he was nothing special. And he did like the adoration of the students.
One person interviewed said Sandy's bisexuality caused him conflicts and problems until he reconciled it. Do you have any thoughts about that? You don't have to have any.
No.
Here's a question. I think this is a Meisner question, because I face the problem too. Do you think Sandy capable of expressing himself and saying to somebody, I love you?
With great difficulty.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why? Because he was a selfish man?
Yeah, he was a selfish man. Beyond that, I don't know.
But with great difficulty.
Oh, with great difficulty. I don't think it was hard for him to say thank you, even.
Mm-hmm.
Or really show affection.
Tony Randall said that. Tony, who I interviewed, mm-hmm. said Sandy was his father's symbol. A very cold, non-praising kind of a father. And all Tony wanted was for Sandy to say to him, Tony, you're a good actor, but Sandy would never do that.
No, he'd never do that. I don't think he ever did it with anybody, really. Mm-hmm. He might have done it through his teaching.
I'm going to turn the tape over.
Okay.
And